Hello and welcome to the Money Talk podcast. I'm Ed Monk. Today on the show, we're reacting to the budget 2021, including the news of a large rise in tax on company profits and a freeze of many personal tax allowances. There was some good news in there as well on extra support for the economy in lockdown and a boost to business investment. If you enjoy the show, please rate us, share us, or leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. There were few surprises in Rishi Sunak's budget for 2021. Most of it had been leaked by the time the Chancellor stood up today, but that doesn't mean it didn't contain several very significant measures. A big rise in corporation tax on company profits was expected and was duly delivered. Meanwhile, more will be taken in personal taxes in the future, thanks to a big freeze on a number of allowances in the tax system. Plus, there was more support for business in lockdown and initiatives to help business investment as well. To discuss all of it, I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Tom Stevenson, Investment Director here at Fidelity. Tom, welcome. We're recording just a couple of hours after the budget on Wednesday, so there may well be some more detail to come out. But what sort of picture, to your mind, did the Chancellor paint of the economy today?
Well, he painted a picture of an economy which is recovering from a pretty severe heart attack last year, a 10% fall in GDP last year, the worst in 300 years. Looking forward, we're going to see most of that clawed back over the next sort of year and a half, to the extent that by the middle of next year, we should be back at pre-pandemic levels. But, you know, things level off a bit after that sharp recovery. And of course, the economy remains very heavily indebted after all the money that's been spent over the last couple of years. The deficit continues at a high level for a few years now. And absolute levels of debt as a proportion of GDP remain at fairly eye-watering levels, around 100% of the size of the economy.
Yeah, indeed. And looking at those budget forecasts, Tom, we do see this rapid recovery in the next year. That's obviously catching up on some of the ground we've lost. And then particularly next year, there's strong growth. Things level off when the sort of harder year-on-year comparisons come about, I suppose. But this budget has included tax rises, which we're going to come to. Now, they've been delayed, or the bulk of them have been delayed, for a couple of years. And looking at those forecasts, it's clear that what the Chancellor hopes will happen is that we get this nice, strong recovery for 18 months or 2 years, and a nice big expansion in the tax base by that point. And then the economy's really cooking by the time that those tax hikes come in 2023 and after that.
Yeah, that's right, Ed. There were always going to be two sides to this budget. There was the supportive side, the measures that the Chancellor was going to be able to announce to continue supporting jobs, continue supporting small businesses, economies of the sectors of the economy which have been hardest hit. And we did see quite a lot of that today. It was a fairly long list of fairly well trailed and quite expensive measures. The other side of it, though, is where the fiscally prudent conservative Chancellor comes in, and that, you know, is his promise that you know, at some point we have to get the public finances back on an even keel. And there was quite a bit in there as well. We're going to come on to those tax rises. So it was a kind of carrot and stick budget. You know, there was plenty to encourage people that he is still determined to do whatever it takes, to use his expression, to support the economy, but also a recognition that at some point, you know, quite soon, we're going to have to start paying for it.
Yeah, and on those borrowing figures, you know, the as I said, we had a lot of this trailed in the press beforehand, and a lot of the critics of the proposed rise in corporation tax that we now know we will get would say that, look, what we need most of all here is growth. Growth's going to be the thing that actually pays off your debt in the long term, because it will expand the amount of tax you can bring in. And the Chancellor has, to some extent, ignored that message and said, no, we do need to at least begin balancing the books. And how much do you think this is a political move, from the point of view that it will give the Chancellor and the government the chance at the end of this parliament to say, look, you know, the debt's still very, very high. It's going to take decades to really deal with. But look, it's going in the right direction. because of the tax cuts that we've made, or sorry, the tax rises we've made.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is a very political chancellor. I mean, he doesn't make any decisions without at least half an eye on the political outcomes. And we've got measures which are very much aimed at the new so-called red wall constituencies in the north of the country. I'm sure we'll come onto those in a minute. But it's only to an extent that he's rejected that growth argument. I think quite a lot of this budget was really focused on the need, the recognition of the need to grow out of the debts that we've that we're saddled with. You know, I think he recognises that, you know, growth is the only way out of this. You can't, such is the scale of the debts that you simply can't impose the spending cuts or can't impose the tax rises that you need to really make a dent in that debt burden. The only way to do it is via growth.
Yeah, well, that said, we did get some tax rises, and so let's turn to those now. The corporation tax rise, we knew it was going to come, but in the event, Tom, it was probably at the more hawkish end of the predictions we'd seen.
It certainly was. It surprised me, to be honest. I thought that this was a case of the Chancellor managing expectations ahead of the budget. We'd had a lot of talk about the likelihood of a corporation tax rise. People talked about 23%. They did actually talk about 25%. But that sounded to me like the government sort of paving the way for a much smaller rise in the budget, maybe 1 or 2 percentage points. So he has gone to the top end of that range. It still makes the UK competitive, just about, with other G7 countries, and that will be the case if Joe Biden hikes corporation tax as much as he says he's going to in the US. But it makes us much less competitive against other countries than we were previously.
Yeah, and lots of people listening to this, Tom, are going to wonder what effect it will have on company share prices. I think back here to 2017, we had a big corporation tax cut in the US under Donald Trump, and that was very beneficial to the stock market. Now, ultimately, it's going to be business owners who will pay this tax on their profits, this extra tax. That leaves less money in terms of publicly listed companies. That's going to leave less money for dividends, for share buybacks, and for investments in those companies. All the things, in other words, that normally boost share prices.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't deny that. I mean, it's not easy to put a positive gloss on a measure which is going to take £17 billion out of corporate profits and hand them straight over to the government. That's £17 billion, which is not available to give back to shareholders in the form of dividends or to invest in the businesses to grow those businesses for the benefit of shareholders. So, yeah, I mean, on the face of it, it is clearly a negative for the stock market. Interestingly, though, I was watching the stock market as the Chancellor was speaking. And yeah, it came off a little bit. It was up quite sharply this morning, but it came off only a little bit. And really, it took these measures in its stride.
Yeah, yeah. We should also say that the budget did have some very pro-business investment measures. Free ports, which is a policy that I've been rapidly reading about in the last hour, Tom, and something called a super deduction. This is a tax relief for business. At a high level, you know, these do seem to appear quite generous, and they should help companies that do want to invest and grow their business.
Yes, I mean, I was doing a little bit of reading around free ports as well, and I discovered that we actually had free ports until 2012. So I think that they're slightly less about this. They're slightly less innovative and new than we thought. I mean, effectively, they are the creation of sort of special economic zones. I mean, this is an idea that's been used in many places around the world. And actually, for those of us who are old enough to remember the 1980s, you know, we had similar sort of enterprise zones under Michael Heseltine during the Thatcher government. So this is not a particularly new idea. It's a, you know, if you think about Canary Wharf and the London Docklands, you know, that was an enterprise zone. It's a tax break, essentially, yeah, to encourage investment. Good idea, though. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a good idea, but
yeah. And I mean, just so some of the detail on that, it's you know, some extra tax reliefs, some maybe some national insurance relief for employers to hire people in these zones. It's all to do with encouraging lots of trade in one place and getting lots of sort of, you know, cross benefits from that.
Yeah, and you know, this is where the political element comes in, of course, because I mean, you look at where these enterprise zones are, these free ports are, and you know, the Teesside is a really good example. I mean, you know, these northern constituencies, which the Conservatives effectively borrowed, if you like, from Labour at the last election. You know, this is all part of the levelling up agenda. Again, you know, just because there's a political element doesn't mean that the idea is not a good one. I think actually the idea of these enterprise zones is a positive idea. So I would commend them. The other thing you mentioned there was this super deduction. This I think it also is another good idea actually. So this is essentially a way that companies can offset the cost of investment against their tax bill, and it's called a super deduction because the idea is that they can actually deduct more than they invest. So rather than just deducting 100% of the cost of the investment, they can deduct 130%. So it's a kind of marginal 25% tax reduction, if you like. And again, this is time limited. It's over a 2-year period. And I think the idea of it is to kickstart investment in the economy during this recovery phase, and really to sort of give a sort of rocket boost to the recovery. And again, I think a good idea.
Okay. Well, let's turn, Tom, to the personal tax side of this. Again, we knew that a freeze on some income tax allowances were likely this week. What we got was income tax bans frozen from next year. So we are going to get the previously announced rise in those allowances for this year, and then they will be frozen for the rest of the Parliament. The CGT annual exempt amount is going to stay where it is at the moment, which is £12,300. And the IHT, inheritance tax, nil rate band is going to stay at £325,000. It always stays there, Tom. I don't know why we bother talking about that one. It's never changed for years. Now, the Chancellor was at pains to stress that he was being upfront about all of this. He doesn't want to be accused of introducing stealth taxes, of course. But the reality is, Tom, that these tax rises, and that's kind of what they are, they're going to get less attention, aren't they, because they're to a slightly obscured part of the tax system. Certainly, you know, if you were to compare that to a, you know, a penny on income tax or a penny on national insurance, these are still slightly stealthy tax rises, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, the Chancellor can say till he's blue in the face that he's just being honest and upfront and all of that, but I mean, ultimately this is a stealth tax. I think it's worth about £8 billion a year from 2025. So it's a pretty significant increase in the amount of tax available to the government. And yeah, you're right. A lot of people won't notice it because I mean, to use his words, I think he specifically said no one's going to see any reduction in the amount that they take home. Well, that's true. But in inflation adjusted terms, yeah, absolutely. In inflation adjusted terms, it means you're getting a little bit poorer. So it is a tax.
Yeah, you're not poorer than you are now, but you will be poorer than you would otherwise have been in the future. That's the sort of subtlety in this policy.
The subtle semantics, but yeah, it's true.
Yeah, indeed. And basically, of course, I'm sure lots of people listening to this are going to know how this works. But of course, if you keep those thresholds where they are, if you freeze them in the way that the Chancellor has done or will do, what tends to happen with wages is that they rise over time. And so people's aggregate wages rise in general, and more and more and more of them trip over and have wages counting against that higher rate band. And that's how this effectively is a tax rise, right?
Yeah, more and more people just get sucked into those higher rate bands. So, you know, they might have, you know, people on sort of middle salaries, you know, they might have expected to be just under the threshold for paying higher rate tax. Suddenly they'll find that they're considered to be higher rate taxpayers, and they probably don't consider themselves to be higher rate taxpayers. Or at least higher rate earners, put it that way.
Indeed. Okay, well, finally, Tom, we should note the extension of various lockdown measures. This is probably the least surprising of all the measures. Furlough extended to September, with employers contributing more from July. We've got the stamp duty holiday. That's going to run for a few months longer. And a host of other grants and loans in the business world will continue. This is all really important, isn't it, Tom? And that's why I wanted to spend some time at the end on it, because it concerns the next few months. And normally in the budget and the other measures that we've discussed concern sometimes many years out from where we are. But these concern the next few months, and everything else that we have spoken about depends on the next few months, doesn't it? Because we need to open up the economy in a way that clings on to any demand out there and makes the most of it. And if these measures speak directly to that, because if that doesn't work, then you can kind of forget all the more optimistic forecasts that we've been talking about.
Yeah, that's absolutely the point. You know, the point is that you can make all these forecasts over the 5-year forecasting horizon, and they will be completely meaningless if we don't get a robust recovery over the summer. If we can't open up the economy according to the timetable that the government set out just recently, if we can, of course, and you know, a lot of people have got, you know, plenty of savings stacked up because they've been working from home or whatever. That's not true of everyone, because there are plenty of people who are earning less than they were. And it's important to mention that, because, you know, I think it's easy to look at this and say, oh, people have, you know, savings have gone up. People are in a better financial position. That's true of some people. It's not true of plenty of other people. But I do think, you know, overall, we have the potential for some pent-up consumer demand. If some of these investment measures also start to kick in and businesses regain their confidence, then those forecasts are eminently achievable. But, you know, there's a lot of scope for disappointment here. And, you know, this is plainly unfinished business. And the Chancellor will be crossing his fingers that it works out as he hopes.
Indeed. Well, all right, Tom. I know you've had a very busy budget day, so I'll leave you alone. But as always, thanks so much for coming. And that's it for now. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Money Talk podcast. Check fidelity.co.uk for daily written updates and articles on these and other topics from across Fidelity in the UK. And subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast downloaded direct to your devices every week. Please be aware that the value of investments and the income you get from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information doesn't constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Eligibility to invest in an ISA or a pension and the value of tax savings depends on personal circumstances, and all tax rules may change. You will not normally be able to access money held in a pension until the age of 55. Reference to specific securities or funds should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities or funds, and is included for the purpose of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you're unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor.